Turn with me, please, to John 15 this evening. John 15. Teaching, preaching is just one of the ways that God ministers to us and reveals Himself to us. And we have to watch. People tend to be creatures of habit. And sit down and get out their notes and their pen. And if you don't watch what you're doing, you'll just go from here to here. Too much. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we should not do that. We should listen with our hearts and not be too heady and respond with our hearts. And I particularly want us to emphasize that during these services. I'm believing God. You're believing God with me. But I'm not looking to you, and you're not looking to me. Right? We're all got our eyes on Him. He's here. Right? He's here. And here's the thing. You don't just want to learn more about God. You want to experience God. Are you with me now? You don't want to just make some notes about God. You want to experience God. And we have a right to believe for this. We do. In John chapter 15, notice something. John chapter 15. We'll begin in the fourth verse. John 15, 4. Jesus began talking about the true vine. And he said in verse 4, "Abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me," that's number 4, "and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide in me," abide not in me rather, "he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. And it shall be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." What's the recurring thought there? Abiding. 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 Now, abide is not a word we use a lot in our modern vernacular, is it? How many times did you use it today? Well, the word abide, if you look it up, Hebrew and Greek and other, you know, words brought into English, it means to remain. It means to be held in, to be kept in. Or we'd probably say today, to stay in. Now that's the word we use. stay. It means not to depart, not to leave. To stay in a place or state. Did you hear that? To stay, everybody say stay.
Stay.
To stay in a place or state. The word dwell is used sometimes. But how many times did you use the word dwell today? Or yesterday? I'm from the deep south. And I heard that all my growing up. People say, where do you stay? Or sometimes, where you stay at?
Yeah.
What does that mean? We might say, in other words, where do you live? Where do you live? These two words, I want us to say out loud to ourselves and in our mind every time we see the word abide, because you're going to see it a lot. It's in the word a lot. But there's a problem with words we don't use regularly in our modern vernacular. When we see them and read them, we're familiar with them, but don't really know what they mean. What does abide mean? Two words. Stay, live. Now there's other ways you could say it, but remain is the same thing as stay. And dwell, you know, live. But we use these words, stay. We use the word live. Live. Now let's read this again. And use the word live or stay. Verse 4. Live in me. Stay in me. Well, is living in him automatic? Why would he tell us to? Live in me, stay in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it stay in the vine. How many know that's a fact? The branch has got to stay hooked up to the vine. No more can you except you live or stay in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that lives in me, he that stays in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 7, if you live in me, stay in me, and my words live or stay in you. See, you can't just hear the word Sunday night and then think about something else Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Right? The same word you're hearing on Sunday, you've got to be hearing and talking Monday. Right? And you've got to be hearing it and talking it Tuesday. It can't be a Sunday thing. Because that's not where you live. You visit. But you don't stay here. Are y'all with me now? You don't stay here. You're visiting and you come and you spend some time, but you don't remain here. Where you live and what you're living in and what's living in you is what's producing the fruit. All you got to do is look at the fruit in your life, and that tells you what you've been staying in. Right? Right there. I know I had the privilege of working in the healing school at Brother Kenneth Hagin's ministry for a number of years. And after 10 years or so, I'm sitting in my office one day, studying and thinking about another healing message. And man, I taught healing in the morning and the afternoon, and I taught healing in a healing class. And then I went out on the weekend and had healing meetings. It was healing in the morning, healing at noontime, healing when the sun went down. It was for years. And I realized, man, I've been healed too. It dawned on me, man, I just go month after month after month and not a symptom. Nothing. Not a pain, not an ache, nothing. And I put the two together. You might say, you didn't already know that? No, listen, think about what I'm saying. What am I living in? I'm staying in healing. Do I have any healing fruit? Yeah, man, I'm enjoying it. I'm seeing it. Man, this is an answer to so many things. I would see individuals that would come to healing school, and some of them, I mean, given up by medical science, no hope. And they'd come in there, and some of them on breathing machines, some of them on different apparatuses, and just gasping for breath, distract the rest of the class. You know, it wouldn't seem shocking to you if they just fell right off the seat dead right there. I'm serious. That's the kind of shape they were in. And I've seen people in that shape, 2 hours in the morning in the Word, 2 hours in the afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and by Thursday or Friday, be 70-80% improved. I mean, just like a flower opening up in the sunshine. I've seen it. But then I'd see them go home and or go somewhere else for a week or so and come back and be almost in the same shape that I saw them 3 weeks ago when we started. And I thought, well, what's going on here? Do you know? See, when they left us, they weren't living in it anymore. They weren't staying in it. It was like, yeah, you know, get up and read a verse or two in the morning, but then think about the problem the rest of the day. Talk about the symptoms and talk about the prognosis and think about the bills and talk about... See, you can't just quote a scripture over yourself and then live in the bills. Now you turn it around. You look at the bills... And you go, well, okay. And then what do? You live in His Word. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I got this revelation. I realized, man, I'm living in health. And then I got another revelation. Buddy, you need to teach on prosperity. Because I wasn't doing so hot. Why was it? But I did. The Lord began to deal with me, and I began to have opportunity, so I began to think about it and talk about it and preach it and teach it and think about it and preach it and teach it month after month. And then what do you think happened? Fruit. But it's not just from hearing a word or two or playing a tape one time and then living in the problem and the walking beside and feelings the rest of the time. You got to live in Him. Let His words live and stay in you. Can you see it? Let's read it out loud again here. I'll read it for you. He said, if you live in me, if you stay in me, and my words live or stay in you, you'll ask what you will, and it'll be done to you. Why? Because you're going to ask according to the Word. And because faith came by hearing the Word, you're going to ask in faith. Right? And because through faith and patience, you'll inherit the promises, and because you keep living in it, you're going to be persistent about it. You're going to stay after it. Right? So you will get whatever you asked for. Right? Because you're living in, staying in Him. And His words are living in, staying in you. Now keep reading here. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. What's the next word? Continue. See, that's the same theme as He's been using all from the beginning. Abide, 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 abideth, abide, abide, abide. I'm reading. And then continue. Does that sound familiar? Continue in what? Ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall what? You shall abide, you shall live, or you shall stay in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and live or stay in His love. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might what? Remain, stay, dwell, abide, live in you, and that your joy might be full. Hallelujah. How many interested in full joy? There is nothing like full joy. Has anybody in here experienced fullness of joy to some degree? Have you? If you have, you know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, my cup runneth over is not just a verse. You can be happy beyond yourself. You can't. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There is a joy that is beyond natural happiness. There's a joy that no thing or no physical accomplishment can give you. Well, read this. Whose joy? What joy? Huh? Did you see that? He said, I told you this. Why? So that my joy might... No, now get this. My what? Now read it. That my joy might what? Remain. Remain. I have had a handful of experiences in God in my lifetime. What I mean by that is something beyond the natural. And you're not only always supposed to talk about these things, and you don't base your faith on your experience. You base your faith on the Word. But we're supposed to have, we people of faith, we're supposed to have some experience. Not basing our faith on it, but it is the fruit of being doers of the Word. How many know you don't have to walk and believe for your healing by faith forever? Right? If you keep on doing it, what's supposed to happen? You're supposed to experience healing. Right? When your faith turns to sight, you feel healed. You experience healing. How about prosperity? How many understand and believe and know that you don't just call yourself prosperous and call yourself rich and sow your seed for the rest of your life and never see any of it? You live in it. What's going to happen? Fruit. Fruit. You're going to feel prosperity. You're going to experience prosperity. And he said, I told you this. Why? So that my joy might remain in you. Now, this is not just once in a while. My joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. 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 Oh, there is a life of fullness of joy that's available to us. Not just experiencing it once every 20 years, but His joy staying in us, living in us. I know some years ago I was in Georgia doing a meeting, and I got in after the service and I laid down and I started thinking about all God had done for me and where He had already brought me from and how He had spared different ones of my family and friends again and again and again, how He had answered my prayers and met my needs. And I got to just laying there saying, thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 And for lack of a better word, it was like the Holy Ghost got into bed with me. Now, I know he's already inside me, but keys can also come upon you. And when he does, the Holy Ghost can come sit on you in your chair right now. And when he does, you don't have to look at your neighbor and go, "Is he here?" You don't have to ask anybody. And if you haven't experienced any of this, you got to. You got to, and not next year. "Well, Brother Keith, I'm a faith man, and I don't go by feelings." I don't either. But I'll take all he'll give me. I don't require feelings to believe. I don't require feelings to obey. Right? Oh, but when you believe for healing, after a while, there should be some healing feeling. Am I right? You don't just go on indefinitely. And you believe in for prosperity. After a while, there ought to be some prosperity feeling. And the Lord tells us, there is a way to live in Him so that His joy stays in you. Few things are a worse witness than a sad, depressed Christian. It's a sad, depressed Christian is a contradiction to terminology. Christian, Christ I am. What's Christ? Anointed one. Anointed with depression? No, he was anointed with the oil of gladness. Come on now, the oil. Is there an anointing of gladness? Y'all gonna have to help me just a little bit more here. I'm talking about believing with me, looking, and yielding. Right? Now the Holy Ghost starts moving in here and comes, gets in the chair with you and puts oil of gladness on you. You don't go, oh, I got to control myself and take notes. No, you drop your notebook. Which is better, notes about God or God? "Well, I got all kind of books and tapes about God." Well, okay, but God is better than the books and tapes about God. He should come off the page and off the tape and get in your life. And when he does, it's no more sad sack. It is no more sad, no more down. And if you live there and live with him, then his joy stays. Are you getting it now? Stays in you. And you keep on doing what he shows you all the time, then your joy is going to be full because his joy is staying in you. Staying in you. Staying in you. Live. Stay. Now look at this again and endeavor to hear this in a way you've not heard it before. He said, verse 10, well, verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." So because of that, what? Stay, continue, stay in my love. Do we have something to do with this? Is this automatic? Can you live some other way? Yeah. Millions of Christians are proving that. Right? You can live another way. It's called the flesh way. But he said, live and stay in my love. And if you keep my commandments, You shall what? You shall live in my love. Now, when we read this, so many times people interpret all of these phrases into treating other people in love. Walking in love with other people. That's not what he said. Now, if you read this whole passage, he gets into that. He talks about that, but he didn't say that right here. What did he say? Live. You shall live in my love. It's going to take some mind renewal for us now. What are you talking about, Brother Key? Well, I'll have to skip ahead and then maybe I can come back. Love is the atmosphere of heaven. God is love. Love is the environment of heaven. It's what they live in. Like we have an atmosphere made up of different gases. Somebody say, well, it's nothing here. No, it's not nothing. It's air. Air is not nothing. You go out into outer space where there is none, and you find out real quick. Air is something. Right? And you can wet your hand or breeze blow. You feel it. Right? And didn't the Bible tell us that this is how the Spirit is, and those that are born of the Spirit is like the wind? The air is the atmosphere in which we live. Take a breath. How long can you make it without that? Physically. A few minutes. Well, in heaven, they don't need an atmosphere like that. Because spirits don't have to breathe like physical bodies. And glorified bodies don't have to breathe, inhale, exhale, like we do. But there is an environment. There is an atmosphere. Go to Revelation, let's look at it. It's described. Revelation. Chapter 21. I should have told you to hold your place in John, but you can find it again. Somebody said out loud, living in love.
Living in love.
Living in love. See, we got so much mind renewal that should take place. You know, sometimes parents, and I know what they mean by it, but we need to change our terminology. They'll tell moon-eyed young couples that are ready to get married that have no financial plan, go, well, what are y'all going to do? Live on love? Yeah, we'll just live on love. Well, if you're talking about what the world calls love, you're going to be confused in all kind of ways. But God is love. So what did you just get through saying? What y'all going to live on? God? You see how much mind renewal we got to have? To even start talking right, thinking right. What y'all going to live on? God? Well, yes, we can live quite well on God. Thank you. It's the only way you can live. God is love. We know that. But God, His glory is the emanation of His essence, of His person. He's so brilliant, He's so powerful, He's so good that His goodness is tangible in glory.
if I'm saying it right or not. I mean, let's say you sit here on the chair and you got so full of love, you just started glowing. It's possible. I said it's possible. Isn't it? In the Old Testament, Moses went up on the mount, didn't he? Oh, hallelujah. Hung out with God. He didn't just visit him for a 10-minute devotional. Did he? He didn't just visit him for his 15-minute Bible reading. Or even for an hour, or like we have, 4-hour or 3-hour service. No. All day long and all night long and all day long and all night long, 24/7, week after week after week, 40 days, 40. We got to get some mind renewal here. Why should that be a thing thought incredible? That you'd camp out with God for a week or two. People act like, oh, well, I guess, you know, super, super holy committed prophets might hang out with God for a week or two, but I mean, I got to make a living. And that's why so many live in making a living. They live in that. And so that's why their life is so dissatisfying. Now think about it. When he came down, what was happening to him? He was glowing, wasn't he? I mean, lit up like a light. And he thought it was normal. Didn't he? He didn't notice it. He didn't come down and say anything about it. He's, you know, it probably looked like it was dimming down some to him. But the people went, oh, whoa. Oh, man. You got to cover your head. But now get this. How long can your body go without food? How long can your body go without water? 40 days and nights? And you be fine, hunky-dory? He did. Okay, then. He's not just breathing air up there. He's in the environment of the presence of God. Are y'all with me now? This is what you really live in. Not just in a geographical location, not just on the earth, in the atmosphere. There's another atmosphere. What is it? Love or God? What did he say? If you do this, you will live in my love like I have kept my Father's commandments and I have lived in his love. I have stayed in this state. I have lived in his love, in the manifest love of God. And that's also why he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his brethren, because he stayed and lived in the love, and so his joy was full. He was not a depressed Jesus. Well, Brother Keith, you see him, you know, crying and strong, praying in tears in the garden. Yeah, in the garden. That was a small part of his life. For all those years before that, little kids who never saw him and knew him would see him from a distance and then go, ah, and they'd run and grab him. Yes. Little kids don't like being around grumpy people. No, honey, now Jesus is fasting and seeking God about some things. You go play with mommy. No. He was so full of joy that they were drawn to him like an attraction. Like a PlayStation. And he enjoyed them. He said, come on in here. Sit up here. Lived in love. Now, are you with me? That doesn't just mean walking in love with other people. That's a part of it. He talks about that later. But you're living in the manifest presence of love. You're living in love. Have you found revelation? Revelation 21. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Lots of new real estate. Verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, look, I make everything, all things, new. Hallelujah. Sound like a fun place? No hospitals. No cemeteries, no jails, no mental institutions. Right? I don't reckon you'd need any Kleenexes. No therapy. Now skip on down to verse 23 and notice something about this place. 22, excuse me. 22. 21, 22. I saw no temple there. Didn't see a church house. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now, did it say they didn't have one? And that we won't have one? No. Just not a structure like we're used to. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon. Now, how many know what a big role our sun plays in our atmosphere? Amen. The sun, the gravitational pulls, the orbits, the rotation. Take away the sun. What would it do to your atmosphere? It'd destroy it. Yeah. But they don't need a sun. Why? You don't need an envelope like around the planet so you and I can breathe and make it. Why? Because He is the atmosphere. He is the environment. He is the light. He said, for the glory of God did lighten it. What is the glory is coming out of Him. Can you live in the glory? Yes. Without air? Yes. Without water? Yes. Without food? Yes. You can live very well. Exceedingly well. You can live in the glory and be thrilled beyond words without a body. Not even a body. and not even know that you didn't have a body. Remember Paul? He's caught up. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. Who cares? But even if you got you left your body back here, you're going to get it back fixed. Right? But how will we live forever and ever and ever? What sustains us? You won't need a sun. Won't need a moon. The glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb is the light. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, living in love.
Living in love.
Say it again, living in love.
Living in love.
Now, do you understand I'm not talking about walking in love? That's a part that we get to. I'm talking about something else. It all goes together. But so many times when we talk about love, we primarily have focused on me walking in love with you. And even if I feel like slapping you, smiling and being nice. And that's living in love. No, no, no. It's so much more to it than that. You are to live in love with nobody around. Except God. Because there is no better life. I mentioned I've had a few experiences in God. And of the ones I've had, every one I've had that's been one of the most things that have left one of the most indelible marks on me. I remember one night I was in the floor praying for some folk. And God got a hold of me. And I was able to intercede for them. And as I did, the love of God came in me towards them. And I sensed for a few minutes how much He loved them. But I got distracted from praying because I'm thinking, this is where I want to live. I never want to quit feeling this way. I want to stay right here. I want to feel like this. This is where I want to live. In what? In manifested love, which is manifested God. That is our destiny. I said that is our destiny. But the good thing about it, this is a part of heaven you can have now. Didn't He say? Keep My commandments. And you'll live in My love like I have kept My Father's commandments and I've lived in His love. Can you live the sort of life that Jesus lived as He walked the earth? Was He depressed? He was not depressed. You couldn't have been depressed and live in faith and please God every waking moment. Depression and unbelief and fear doesn't please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He had to have joy. The Bible's true. He was anointed with the oil of gladness above all His brethren. There was nobody happier than Jesus. We haven't seen that, have we? So many pictures of sad Jesuses. So many crucifixes of sad Jesuses. Sad Jesus everywhere. People start talking about Jesus. Oh, Jesus. He's not on the cross. He went to the cross. He did it. He's not in the tomb. It was rough. It was awful. But it's done. It's done. And for us, this is as rough as it gets. Here and now, this is as rough as it gets for us. And we're learning how it can be a whole lot better than what we knew. Does God intend for us to be weak or strong?
Strong.
What is our strength?
Joy.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. How are we going to stay in joy and our joy not be half full, quarter full, two-thirds full, full, by living in the love? Hallelujah. You're right there by 22. Let's look at it before we go. He goes on to say, verse 5, there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. He is our atmosphere. He is our sun. He is our life. We need nothing else. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Go to the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. Said out loud, living in love.
Living
in love. Staying in the manifested love of God. Acts 17. Paul, in verse 22 and 23, had saw all of the gods that the men of Athens and people there worshipped. And he said, I'm going to tell you about, you got an inscription up here to an unknown God. And of course, it's obvious to him, they didn't know God. So he said, I'm going to tell you about the one you don't know. He took off there and preached. Verse 24, he said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. Where does he dwell then? You see it again and again where it talks about living in him. A lot of times right after it will say, and he lives in you. You live in him, you stay in him. He lives in you, he stays in you. He said, he dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Does God personally have any needs? None. You know why? Among other reasons, of course, he's God. But why? Because he's love. Love has all its needs met. Faith works by love. Faith is the victory that overcomes all the world. Needs not anything, seeing he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Life and breath. See, we've been talking about that, haven't we? Life and breath. But now look what he goes on to say. And has made of one blood. How many? Now that just blows racism right out of the water. Don't it? How can one group of people, Ian, I don't care what you try to differentiate, how can one group of people be so radically different from another group of people? It can't. We're all from the same blood. One blood. And all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Now get this, and he's determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. This word habitation includes the idea of the environment and the atmosphere. You can't live in outer space. So, oh, yeah, I can. No, you can get in a little can and go up there and haul you some air up there and breathe it in your can, but you can't live up there.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
You can live in a can. You can't live on the bottom of the sea. You can take you some cans with some air and stay a little while, but you can't. Or get in a can. I was reading. Have y'all read that book? What is it? My Dream of Heaven by Rebecca Springer. Is it? Is that right? If you haven't read that, you ought to read that. Among other things that in talking about this, she talks about going to heaven and how that they went in the water and she was concerned, but then they just went on in over their head and sat out on the bottom and had a conversation. On the bottom of the river. Why not? Because we don't have to have this little envelope after that, because God is all over the place. He's just as much on the bottom of the river as He is above. And He's what we're existing off of anyway, so you can go anywhere. Boy, we got some future ahead of us, guys. And this is what He said. He has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He is not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. What in where? Not just in Texas. Not just in your wood house or stone house. In Him. You don't just live on such and such street. You live in Him. So you don't just live in the physical. You live, even unsaved people, they live in their mind and in their heart. That's why for some people, it can be they could be in a beautiful place, the sun can be shining, the weather can be perfect, and it's dark inside them. Right? They're so depressed. They're not living in the sunshine. They're living in that place. They're not living in love, or their joy would be full. You and I are to live in Him and move in Him. Are y'all helping me on this or not now? Hang in here with me. Help me. I'm talking about with our faith. Are you with me so far? Can you live in manifested love? How does it affect you? Joy. 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 Have you been experiencing fullness of joy Monday morning and Monday night and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday? Have you? No. No, most folk hadn't. But see, so many times people have thought, well, this is just life. And one of these days, in the sweet by and by. See, I mean, some folks, some charismatics, some word and faith people, they've kind of made fun of some people in other groups because they put healing off and being filled with the Holy Ghost and prosperity off, but people in word and faith doing the same thing. Just in other areas. Me, you. What is the ultimate life that a man or woman can live on this planet right now? What is it? Look at Jesus. He did it.
Thank you, Jesus.
I said He did it. You can have a prayer life just like Jesus. You can walk in faith just like Jesus. You can have fullness of joy, be anointed with the oil of gladness above all the folk around you, just like Jesus. You can. That's what's available. That's what's available. But see, we've been taught for centuries. Oh, no, that's Jesus. and you ain't him. That's a son of God. He's high and holy. Not you. What did the Bible say? Go to 1 John. 1 John 2. Oh, hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit a little bit. Oh, kahelidia. Enis dova novat barin brace de enjedia lapisoci. Oh, koatrias gedia dolos. Nembe adesni indi. Esdi. Abas delo tofe geladias. Amen, crees dia vala crashte de golog de vaede lebes dofe jodovala plasta. 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 Tegri de shite. Telegle de ste ca de la teci. Stuvele bla. O farembres ni angel devanto. Prendi vala domeno nos dofen do clamba dalla natea. Praise dove no tofen jondobaya susone. Oisde, ente, esde, aesdo, orastose, enes dese, pelecles daici, alates de pleas descastia chiquiste, dis nean de bandons non toen tostia de dongidi. Oh, fare pri. Leave namasto. Leave de marin stechi. Oh, sodai te ko de vai de bon no pon dan pande te banen de pande ate ni mande ante ndien teki. Dammi ande antie chi dienne mente. Dienne mahandi a macanti e matteombo de fatia. Gide vela plesto. So di barra brazotico della cia. Oh, shomain delle anaia. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 John. Now we won't get into all this, but tonight we'll perhaps move into it in further services. But throughout this epistle, he talks about abiding and dwelling and love. What does it mean to abide? Stay there. Not just something you visit once or twice a week. Live there. That's where you live. He said in 1 John 4, 1 John 4, verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. Can you experience God without seeing Him? Yes, you can. God can be so real to you, and you not see Him at all. If we love one another, God what? He dwells, He lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we what? We dwell, we live, we stay in Him, and He in us, because He's given us of His Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the agency, the by which we live in Him and He lives in us. The person of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15. Whoever will confess that Jesus is the Son of God, what happens? Didn't say God visits him. God lives in him, remains in him, stays in him. And he lives, remains, stays in God. And we have known. We have known. This word means experienced. One way it's used is tasted. Tasted. Right? I can tell you about my grandmother who's in heaven now, about her chicken and dumplings. But I could write a book about it. Wouldn't do you half as much good as what? A taste. I'm not much on reading recipes. Let me taste. Right?
That's right.
I'll let you know in a minute. Here. Right now. I remember the scripture said, oh, taste. Taste and see. That He's good. And if we are not experiencing this on a daily basis, then we're not tasting.
That's right.
We're not living there. Far too much theory. We are, by comparison with previous generations, we are an intellectual generation. You know, in generations past, not too far past, most of the people couldn't read. Couldn't pick up a book. But that's changed. Now it's more odd that somebody can't read. And so mental. And the sad thing is so many people, they don't live a life of their own. They try to live by reading about other people's lives and by watching other people's pretended experiences on a movie screen or on a TV, and they try to live vicariously. They have no life. They let their emotions ride the roller coaster of the movie or the show or the book, and then they turn it off and go, whew. And look around at my life. I guess I'll go to bed. Maybe I'll rent something more exciting tomorrow. We have a whole generation that tries to live vicariously through this stuff. And the years are passing by. You do not want to look up and it's the Lord's already coming, or it's time for you to leave here, and you've only tried to live through other people's experiences when you could have been living in God, living in love, the highest life that can be lived. Man, if every child of God really understood it, never would you look at anybody and envy their life. Wish you had a life like them. Never, never, never. You don't have to. If you was keeping His commands, if you was living in His love, you'd go around all the time going, oh, He's so good. Oh, you wouldn't have to even go anywhere or to have a vacation. You just lay down on your couch and go, oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. He can be that real to you. He wants to manifest Himself to you and me. I've experienced this a handful of times. But I know one of the first times that I did, I was having an extra time of waiting on the Lord and seeking God. The Lord led me to. And man, the Lord got more and more real to me, more and more real to me, more and more real to me. I lay in my bed and started singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And just did it all night. And went about my business the next day and did it in between time. And you know, the more you do that, you just forget about being tired. Phyllis, my wife, we got married and she was Catholic. I was Pentecostal. Yeah. And I was tarrying to receive the Holy Spirit. We didn't know too much about receiving. We tarried. And sometimes folk received. Tarrying. And I tarried a bunch. We'd have meetings. And after the preaching was over, you know, 9 o'clock, whatever, 9:30, I'd start tarrying. Sometimes I'd still be tarrying 2 o'clock in the morning. Midnight many a time. Tarry, tarry. Tarry, tarry. All the men would get on one side of the altar, and the women would get on the other, and they'd slap me on the back. Hold on, brother. Don't quit. Turn loose, brother. Let it go. Say Jesus. Help me, Lord. Right. That's all we knew. And not knocking them. We love God, but just didn't understand, believe you receive. Well, Phyllis was sitting back in the back on these meetings. This is all new to her. Finally, night after night after night, she started praying. She said, Lord, whatever he wants, would you give it to him so we can quit doing this and go to the house? Well, it kept on going night after night. So finally one night she said, maybe it's me. You know, I'm new to this. Maybe I'm not getting with. Maybe I'm holding him back somewhere. She's willing to do anything, try anything. And she came up on the women's side. And they began to praying for her. Well, glory to God. I mean, the power of God come on her. She fell out under the power. Well, the custom there was, you know, you're going to confess Jesus. We're going to baptize you now. It was wintertime, and there was no baptistry. So we all went in the cars out to the pond at midnight, wintertime, for her to get baptized. And we thought, great, let's do it. Well, some of our friends kept telling her, just believe, just believe. When you come back up, you'll be speaking in tongues. So she thought, that's how you do it. And sure enough, she said she stepped off into the water. Correct me if I tell this wrong. And it was wintertime. She said she didn't even feel it. Felt like a warm tub, bathtub. Come back up out of the water. She started speaking in tongues under the water. And as she come out, flailed out and just talking in tongues. Well, she said, she stepped into this environment we're talking about.
Yeah.
And for the next, how many days? 3 days or 4 days? I don't know. Did you sleep? If you did, it wasn't much. Didn't sleep. Didn't eat. Didn't need to. What's she living off of then? Not that she was trying to fast or trying to miss sleep. I'd say, here, you want to eat something? She'd go, she'd pull the plate around, and then she'd just go start praising God and go, oh, you know, I'm just not hungry. Glory to God. Time to sleep. And that's what she did all night. Instead of sleeping, just praise God and give glory to God. And just, what's she doing? She is living in that love, so the joy is full. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And I know one of the first times that I was, I started talking about a minute ago, I was waiting on God extra. And man, God come in the bedroom with me. And His presence was so strong, and I was so thrilled, and I was so filled. And one of the first things I said, I can live here. That was the revelation. I can live here. Now, I don't mean, you got the flesh. And there's enough stuff in the world to get your attention from here time to time. But you do not have to live in depression.
That's
or boredom. Did you hear me now? You don't have to live there. You can live in love. You can live in joy. And if you see you're beginning to get grumpier, this or that, you just realize, whoa, whoa, that's not normal for me. No, I don't live like that. That's not where I live. So when folks say, where do you stay? Or where you stay at? Where? It's not, don't give them your address. Where do you live? Where do you, I live in love. That's where I live. That's where I live. Let me see if I can read this, and then I think we'll, this will be our starting place to take off from in the morning. He said, verse 16, we've known, experienced, and believed, not just believed, but believed and experienced, the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God. He that lives in love lives in God. Say that out loud with me 3 times. He that lives in love lives in God. Say it again. He that lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may be have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We can live in the same environment. There is no fear in love. Now here begins a revelation. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. Now, you remember Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus, right? And you remember that the Bible said, Luke 16, 19, that the rich man died. Right? Amen. And he lifted up his eyes in being in torments. Yeah. Being what?
In torments.
And he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried, Father, have mercy on me. And he said, you know, would you send somebody to tell my family? What is he living in? The place. Now, we know that death and hell are going to eventually wind up in the lake of fire. But all of it is a place of torment. What makes hell, hell? Not just fire. Not just heat. Spirits. See, spirits are there. Without bodies. But what makes hell hell? It's the environment. And the environment is fear. You think about the most hellish situations you've ever lived in. What was it? The fear, the panic of not knowing what to do. Of dreading what was coming up. Knowing you deserved punishment. Wondering, am I going to have it? Is it going to work? Are we going to make it? The uncertainty, the torment, the fear is what makes hell, hell. The environment of hell is fear and torment and selfishness. Where that all you do is think about yourself and your pain and your agony and torment and fear of what's coming and what is. Mm-hmm. What's the environment of heaven? No. Absolutely no fear. No torment. no dread, no insecurities about anything or anybody. Ain't nobody standing on the street in heaven afraid to cross the street and talk to somebody. Or what they might think. Everybody's just, hey, you want to go with us? What you doing? We'll go with you. Total freedom. I said total freedom. Can we have it here and now? Can we have some of this now? He said, pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, by this love. By this love. There should be no torment in your house. There should be no fear in your car. Have you ever walked into a situation where people are fussing and fighting or grieving? And could you feel it? Could you feel it in the air? It's a tangible environment. That's what they're living in. They're living in that. But the child of God never has to live in that. Living in tension. Have to walk on eggshells around people because they're going to snap. They've had all they can take. That ain't love. Because love suffers long, long, kind. Somebody pulls a stupid trick and love goes, well, bless their heart. God still loves them. Let's believe for them. And you don't have to get all worked up. You don't have to get bent out of shape. You don't have to get mad and go. What starts happening? You do that. Check your environment. Check your environment. Check your environment. Oh, man. Strife. Tension. Right? What is this? You're letting hell's atmosphere into your house, into your workplace, into your car. No, and you're responsible. You're responsible to not let that happen. You're to let the peace of God and the love of God and the joy of God fill up your place. Let's make up our mind. Let's set our heart in these services. That when you come in the blessing. Right? Now listen. You see people, you see signs on the road, and they say, don't put that trash in here. Right? Don't throw that trash on the side of the road. Don't bring that trash. Don't litter. Don't do this. Well, don't do that in the church. Don't bring that in. If you could see folk in the spirit, a lot of folk come in like this. What's that? Oh, that's just some baggage I got. What do you mean? A little carry-on case of depression. I got a tote bag of fear. What's that big trunk? It's selfishness, that big trunk. How many like some of the cartoons? You see, some people walk around in their own cloud. You know, you see, have you seen these cartoons where maybe the sun was shining and this person was standing there with a cloud over their head and it's raining? They carry their own weather. And you and I do spiritually. We carry our own weather. And you can tell it, can't you? When some people come in, it's like, hey, boy, the other party's going to start now. They always up. Always happy. Always. Look at them. And some folk come in, it's like, we need to go. Why? Because the cloud came in. Because they're not living in love. And their joy is not full. Stand up on your feet, please.